You get life, peace. Say, will they add unto thee? Amen. And he said, but let not mercy and truth forsake thee. It's so important this afternoon in keeping God's word, we stay in the truth. That we remain merciful. It said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. And this is how important mercy and truth are. He said, bind them about thy neck.
Yes.
And write them upon the table of thy heart. What are we talking about? Mercy and truth. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tables of thy heart. He said, now when you follow the right prescription, so shall thou find favor and good understanding. A lot of times we get a little confused and we don't know the direction to take. He said, well, when you do what God says first, you've got to keep his law and you've got to honor his commandments. Amen. And then in keeping his law and honor his commandments, say the truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Say, as a result, you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and I'm afraid sometimes we get a little Pharisee-ic. Now, the problem the Pharisees had, they were religious. But the scripture lets us know they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. They didn't say they didn't love the praises of God. The indictment against those that are religious is that they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. We want to find favor and good understanding first in the sight of who?
God,
then man. When you're religious, the order gets reversed. Amen. We try to do everything for man, and then we bring God along. And I believe it's Mark chapter 7 says, as a result, we make the word of God of none effect. It's not effectual. It doesn't work in our lives because we lose the order. He says, so shall our fire, favor, and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And he says, trust in the Lord with what? All. You know, as people of God, sometimes we think we need, you ever get to that point where you need to give God a couple of pointers? Amen. Anybody feel as though they need to give God a little help? God, you should have done it this way. Amen. God said, I'm a God all by myself. The book of Isaiah said, who has been his instructor? Who has counseled the Lord? Amen. Who has told God what to do? God knows what to do, and he knows how to do it. So we have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not unto our own understanding. And how do I trust God? I acknowledge him in all of my ways because I trust God. Amen. I don't acknowledge God in the things that I want God to intervene with and the things I don't want God to touch. I just do it my way. But I acknowledge him in what? All my ways, and as a result of acknowledging him, when I keep the right order, then God can direct my steps. Amen. God can direct my steps. He said, now, the rivalry to being what God wants us to be, the opposition to being in God's favor, the God opposition to pleasing God, he said, now, be not wise in thy hallelujah. Our problem, we lose out on God. We lose out on the blessings. We lose out on God directing us because we start doing it according to our own ways. Amen. In Proverbs 3, chapter 5, the word trust is a Hebrew word which is chatam. Amen. It's 982 in the Hebrews. And that means to have an expectation from God with hope and full confidence. Trust. An expectation. Amen. A hope in God with full confidence. On Friday, we went over the Greek version of trust, which is elpizo, which means to have confidence or hope with joy and full confidence. So they tie it together, the Hebrew and the Greek. How can you have hope in God and have so much worry and anxiety? That's not God. So when we trust God, we shake the anxiety. We shake the worry. Amen. And we roll everything upon God. We say, you know what, Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what you're going to do, but it's yours. And I refuse to touch it. Lord, you're working according to your will. Lord, you're working according to your way because I trust you. Now my question this afternoon, do we just believe God or do we fully trust Him? When we believe God, we have to be like the Pharisees. Amen. And we start getting involved in stuff that God has to do. We can't understand how on the Sabbath somebody can be healed. That's God's business. Amen. But when we get caught up in a belief, amen, we are governed more by the pursuit of man than God. Well, we're going to go to Ruth chapter 1. Amen. This is the area that God was leading me to. Ruth chapter 1. And throughout the book of Judges, the book of Deuteronomy, the one thing that God tried to get his people to do, he said, stop doing the things that are right in your own eyes. Amen. Read Deuteronomy, I believe it's 23, verse 23. The first thing that God did with the children of Israel when he delivered them. Amen. Anybody been delivered?
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm so glad I've been delivered. I've been healed. Amen. No turning back. I can't go back. But when God delivers us, now what God needs us to do is stay in the deliverance. Because God doesn't change. The deliverance doesn't change. The blessings do not change. He says, do not do the things that are right in your own eyes. Proverbs 22 verse 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So what happens is we get in the habit of being wise in our own eyes. And as a result of being wise in our own eyes, we tend to stray away from God. That brings us to Luke chapter 1. If we can stand for our scripture reading, we're going to read, starting with verse 1, and I'm going to skip around just a little bit. We start with verse 1, and we read down to verse 6. Then from verse 6, we'll skip down and read 9 through 18. It's a little lengthy reading. Amen. Well, we read verses 1 through 6, and I know a lot of y'all don't have my energy, so after 1 through 6, I'll let y'all sit down. Amen. And then I read 9 through 18. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I like that. When people smile, that means we're in tune together. Amen. So we're going to read verses 1 through 6. If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those who do not have it, it's on the screen. Verse 1 reads, "Then it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country
Moab. And continued there.
Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, first of all, we acknowledge that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, Lord, if you had not been a way maker, Lord, if you had not been our sustainer, Lord, if you had not stepped in for us and our loved ones, Lord, we realize today that things could be so much different. But Lord, we thank you for being God. Amen. We thank you for keeping us from the seen as well as the unseen. And on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you to speak, for indeed thy servant here. Then can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So we find out that they went down into Moab. Amen. Now, the question is, what could be so bad about going down to Moab? Amen. What could be so bad about going down into Moab. Amen. It doesn't seem like there should be too much problems. Amen. But remember, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, one of the many foes they crossed was the Moabites. They were the one that hired Balaam to come curse Israel. And God said, he remembered what Moab did when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, because they attacked the weakest and those that went back. So Deuteronomy 23 verse 3 says, "And Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation. They shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord." And Deuteronomy 23, 6, 3, "Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever." That's God's word. Amen. But when we do the things that are right in our own eyes, we forget God's word. Amen. So as a result of them forgetting what God had told them to do, yes, there was a famine, but why go to the place that God said, do not go forever? Amen. Why would I want to do what's right in my own eyes? Amen. That conflict showed that they did not fully trust God. Because in trusting God, somebody said, I want to be led by God's Spirit, but we go opposite of the Word. That's not how God operates. Amen. God will never lead us in a way that is in error, in a way that's in direct opposition to His Word. God always lines His will with His Word. So you cannot be in God's will and be outside of the Word, and neither can you be in the Word and be outside of His will, because they go hand in hand. But when we try to do the things that are right in our own eyes, we have a tendency to neglect God. Amen. So we find that Elimelech, Naomi, Chilion, and Mahlon went to the forbidden land. God told them, don't go. But right now, and because as we get a little later in the story, we'll find out, if we get a little further, we'll find out that obviously Naomi, being a godly woman, more than likely she did not want to go. Say, well, how can we say that? Because we read a little later that she's the only one of her family that survived. Amen. God spared her. Amen. So let's go to verse 9. So when we don't trust God, we find ourselves in a land or in a foreign place that God has already forbidden us to go to. We have to look back over our lives and see, you know, I'm here. I see what's happening. Amen. Verse 9 reads, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest." She tells her two daughter-in-law, she said, listen, both of my sons are dead, because the tradition back then is when one of the sons would die, one of the other sons would take the wife to keep the posterity alive. Amen. To keep the family name alive. So she's telling them, she said, listen, my husband's dead, both my sons are dead, there's no future of you staying with me. So she said, now you go back and you be with your people, because God had dealt with her. Now she knows, she heard there was bread in Judah. So she said, now it's time to go back home. And our message this afternoon is, I don't care where you're at. I don't care what your situation is. It's time to go back home. I said, I don't care what your situation is. Amen. I don't care how you messed up. It's time to go back home. Now, man, God said, you got to preach my words. So please don't take it wrong. Amen. Because when I heard you were going to be here, I was going to alter it. But then I wouldn't be preaching God's word. I'd be doing what I want to do. So you're going to have to stay on the horse with me. So it said it's time to go back home. Well, what are the indications that we're in error? When we do diametrically opposed to what God said don't do, that's an error. You can't pretty it up. You can't clean it up. You don't show that you have full trust in God Unless you do the things that are first pleasing in the sight of God and man. When the order is reversed, amen, when we do it for everybody else, and then God will bring you along later, that's not God. That's just a religion. Everybody have a religion. But no one that trusts God, hallelujah, are going to go opposite of God. Lord, I surrender all. Amen. So Naomi finds herself in a strange land. God has stripped her of everything. She said, now listen, I can't help you, my two daughters. I think Orpah and Ruth, she said, you all go back and be with your people. She said, I'm going back home. Hallelujah. Nothing like going back home. You know where home is? Home is where God wants you to be. Home is not what's right in my own eyes. Home is not what I want to do. But home is what's right in God's eyes. Verse 9 reads, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. That's a profound statement. When you get married, your wife is supposed to find
rest.
It's up there. Rest. You're supposed to find rest in the home. God never intended for our houses to be so disheveled and confused. But that's not the message. Somebody said amen. But that's a side note. Our homes are supposed to be a place of rest. But we'll do that another time when the Lord says it. Then she kissed them and lifted up, they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and all and shall also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husband? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is. She realized, amen, as long as I stay in the wrong place, I don't have God's favor. As long as I stay in a land that he said don't go to, I do not have God's blessings. She said, I don't want to stay here and let the hand of the Lord stay against me. Amen. So even though I'm humiliated, I'm embarrassed, I went out rich and I'm going back poor. I went out full and I'm going back empty. She said, I cannot go contrary to the hand of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I can't do it anymore. She said, when my husband died, God was dealing with me then. And I stayed where I was at. Things didn't get better. They got progressively worse. So my husband died and I stayed where I was at. Amen. Then my first son died and I stayed where I was at. Then my next son died and I stayed where I was at. She said, oh Lord, I can't stay any longer when I know I'm going contrary against God. Amen. Lord, I don't have any peace of mind. Lord, I'm smiling on the outside, but I'm crying on the inside. Lord, I have no peace. I have no comfort. Lord, every time I try to go forward, I can feel you holding me back. So Naomi said, the latter part, she said, the hand of the Lord is going out against me. The next verse. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Amen. Problem. Amen. How can you have any other God besides the one God? So she realized that being in Moab, amen, they were in a spiritual wrong condition. That's a sign. When you know that you're in a spiritual wrong condition, God cannot bless you. When you're in a spiritual wrong condition, I don't care what you do, you cannot incur God's blessings or favor, because God said, I am God and I'm God all by myself, and I have no other God. God said, my glory will I not share with another. Why? Because I'm God. He said, I'm a jealous God. Amen. Anytime you put anything before me, God said, I don't like that.
Right.
Hallelujah. He said, I'm a jealous God. So Naomi realized, we've been down in Moab, but we have not been serving the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. We down here, we're serving some foreign gods. She said, I got to go back home. Now you can go back to your God and you go back to your people. Amen. But I heard Joshua say, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Amen. Where are you going to serve the other gods that are on the other side of the flood? Are you going to serve the gods that could not help those people? He said, but as for me and my house, glory to Jesus. As for me and my house, we're going to serve.
Lord.
You got to make a decision. Amen. You can stay where you are. God won't help you. God won't destroy you because God is a merciful God. Mercy is God keeping back judgment that you deserve. Amen. But you don't get God's grace because grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. But you can't get grace when you're wrong. You can't get God's mercy. Or God's, you can get God's mercy, but you can't get God's help when you're wrong. So it's time to come back home. Hallelujah. Paul told the Hebrew brethren when they got all mixed up and got caught up in the Judaizing and mixing up Christianity and Judaizing together. He said, now let us come boldly. Hallelujah. The problem with the church, we keep coming to God, but we have no boldness. We have no confidence. We don't have any trust. We just have a belief. Paul said, come boldly to the throne of
grace.
What is grace? Grace is God's help with you. I heard the psalmist say, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his trouble. But God can't hear you when you're wrong. Hallelujah. So it's time to come back home. It's time to come boldly to the throne of grace, that you can obtain some mercy and find,
grace,
yeah. I said find,
grace.
To help.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. I'm in a time of need. Lord, but I'm out on the wilderness. Lord, I'm out on the island. I don't know where my help is coming from. It's time to get rid of the strange gods. So she said, you can go back to your God and your people. But that's me. I'm going back. Next verse. And Ruth said, where thou? No. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from falling after thee. Amen. When somebody's mind is made up, you don't have to pretty up nothing. You don't have to sugarcoat it. Amen. When you're convicted. Amen. I heard Paul say, I'm persuaded. Conviction is a persuasion. Amen. So Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. What are we talking about? A persuasion. Death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Lord, I don't care what comes my way. Nothing, hallelujah, is going to separate me from my God. Amen. He said, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, what's separating you today? What's holding you back? What's causing you not, hallelujah, to come boldly to God? Amen. Every time you purpose to go forward, oh, shoot for the devil, throws an iron in the wrench, for iron in the fire, and messes you up. You can't come back to God. It's time, hallelujah, to come home. So she goes on, she said, for whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, this is a conviction. What are you saying? I want to go home. I want to incur God's favor. I'm tired of pleasing him and her and getting this and them. I want to please my God. Because I heard Jesus say that when our ways please him, amen, when we do the things that are pleasing in his sight, he will make everything else be all right. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You don't have no peace. You don't have no joy. I'm not talking about that external. I'm talking about what God is doing down in your soul. You don't have no peace. You don't have no joy. Hallelujah. Smiling when everybody's looking at you. Talking about, but when it's you and God all by yourself, and God is wrestling with you, and God is tugging on you, and you're crying out to God, saying, Lord, I'm in wrong, but I need your help. Lord, I'm going the wrong direction, but I need your help. Lord, I've said the wrong things, but I need your help. Lord, when I come to that point, amen, when you come to that point, then we have God's favor and blessing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's time to come back home. Hallelujah. Where's home? Home is where God would have you to be. Right. Amen. That's where God wants us to be. So she said, thy people. Then she got a conversion. She got a spiritual change. Amen. And thy God shall be my God. Amen. As Ruth observed Naomi. Amen. She wasn't into Naomi for what she could get because Naomi had nothing to give her. This is when you know you're truly saved. This is when you know you're truly seeking after God. When you know you don't have nothing you can get from it, but you're still seeing for God. Ruth at this time realized, Naomi, you can't give me anything. You can't help me because you can't even help yourself. But she stayed with her. So often we get lost when we think a man's life consists in the abundance of things that we possess. Amen. So we take our eyes off of Jesus and start looking at the possessions. Lord, I know I'm contrary. I know I'm wrong. Amen. But if I step out, you know, God's merciful. But if I step over here a little bit, he'll bless me, then I can go back. Wrong. God knows our motives. He knows what's in us. And he knows everything. We can't hide anything from God. The Bible says that God seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh at the God. The man looks at your joy. The man looks at your smile. The man looks at your shout. The man looks at your song. But God looks at your hearts. That's the real you. Amen. The scripture says that God's going to judge the secrets of man's heart. Not his outward appearance. Next verse said, where thou diest, I will die. I'm going back. Naomi. Ain't nothing you can say that can stop me. That's when you know you're on God's side. When you don't let anybody. We live in a world today where people always try to put their inputs in. Always trying to be like God. Always trying to tell you, if I were you, I'd do this. That's why you got to enter into your secret closet and let the Lord talk to you. We cannot continue to make decisions based on what people say or think. Amen. We have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say unto us. Seven churches in Revelation. The Lord ended his message with, "Hear what the
Lord."
They all had an indictment, I think, except for one, the Church of Philadelphia. All the rest had an indictment. He said, "You only way you're going to overcome is you got to hear what the
Spirit."
Amen. He said, "You shall overcome, but to overcome, you have to hear what the
Spirit."
Well, my question this afternoon, and me too. See, that's what's so good about the Word of God. What are we listening to? What's influencing us? What's impacting us? What is directing us? Is it the Spirit? Or is it someone else? Amen. We went over on Friday, as great as Peter was, Peter kept failing God because of fear of the people. The spokesman of Pentecost. Amen. God gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Only Peter could say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Peter didn't trust God. Because when Peter was out in the situation, he made his decision not based on God and his word, but the scripture said fear of what people were going to think and do. He was more afraid of the brethren from Jerusalem than God. He honored them more than he honored God. We need to make a stand for God. Amen. You know what, Lord? Eventually, as long as I do what you say do, I don't care what it looks like. Because as God told the children of Israel, he said, "I allowed you. I suffered you. I permitted you to go through hard times." And you thought I was against you. He said, "No, I wasn't." He said, "I was going to see what was really in your heart." Because difficulties, tribulation, and challenges reveal the real you. Amen. Yeah. When things aren't right, the real you comes out. So God said, "I allow these challenges to be in your life. Because I want to, God already knows. But he wanted them to see the real us." Difficulties show you what you really are. In the middle of your trial, do you pray? As Sister Nina said, she couldn't do nothing else but pray. What are you doing in the middle of your trial? Amen. Who are you running to? Who are you seeking? Where does your help come from? Like the psalmist said, "I will lift mine eyes to the hill from whence cometh my..." Alright, he said, hurry up, get to the end of this, I'm going. He said, "Where thine eyes, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee in me." That's conviction.
Yeah.
Amen. So you know what? At this point, there's not a word you can say that can change me. You can't say anything. I'm determined to be with God. I'm determined to do the things that please to God. In the last verse, read verse 18, she says, when she saw that she was, hallelujah. Amen. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you show toward his name. Amen. It says, now be steadfast, being. Amen. Stop letting everything move you. Be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because what? Your labor is
not in vain.
Ruth was steadfast. Then Naomi realized, no matter what I do, she's persuaded. This is a conviction as we stand. This afternoon, how many of us are living by a conviction as the ministers come forward, as everyone is able to stand? How many of us are living on a conviction? Are we just believe God? Amen. Are we persuaded that, you know what, the only thing that can separate me from God is nothing? Because there's nothing. Once again, Paul says, he said, in all these things, we are much more than conquerors. We're not just a regular conqueror, we're more than a conqueror. He said, for I am persuaded. Listen to what he said. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. He's talking about good and the bad. Nor any other power. Amen. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall or will separate me. Today, you must make a personal decision and accept your personal confession. What has driven a wedge between you and God? Is it the fear of death? Is it the want for more in life? Is it the principalities and the speaking that nothing in your ear? What is separating you? Is it angels? Amen. What is separating you this afternoon? He said, the height means, you know what? I got my degree, I'm somebody, I'm something. Amen. Or it could be a high test, a trial. But height has a dual representation, and so does death. Amen. I'm falling out, the bottom is gone. I have nothing. What's separating us this afternoon? Nor any other thing that has been created should be able to separate us from God. Well, why do you say this? Because it's time to go back home.